الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصيهما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم وقد قال تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وابتغوا إليه الوسيلة وجاهدوا في سبيله لعلكم تفلحون صدق الله العظيم. My most respected elders and brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored us with many blessings, physical blessings and spiritual blessings. But man, when he is showered with blessings, and those blessings are such that he gets it for free also, then man does not make shukr. A person came to a saint, Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, has mentioned this incident in his Fazail al-Sadaqat. A person came to a saint, and he was complaining about his financial situation. And he's saying to the saint that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me nothing. And I'm in this position because Allah has left me. This and that is complaining about Allah. So the saint asked him, are you prepared to give your one eye for 1 million rand, for example? Or are you prepared to give your one tongue for 1 million rand? Or any of your other limbs, are you prepared to give it for 1 million rand? He said, no, I'm not prepared to do that. So he said that if you regard all these things to be so valuable that you're not even prepared to give it up, then who gave you all these things? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it to you. You're enjoying all these bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet you are so ungrateful to Allah that you're not even making shukr for all these things. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Fajr. فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَّمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدْرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا. That insan is such, and Allah showers him with bounties, he says, Allah has honored me. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him to some type of difficulty and takes away or puts the brakes on things, you know, the same insan is so ungrateful to Allah that he said, no, Allah has disgraced me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showed us with many, many blessings. So many blessings that we cannot even count. Likewise, as the Shaykh rahmatullah has mentioned another incident. A buzur came to see one king. And it so happened the king had a tumbler of water in his hand. So the king, in those days also, that they used to respect the pious people. Therefore, Allah Ta'ala give them barakah also. So he asked the saint that give me some advice. So the saint asked him that if you had to be dying now with thirst, no water around, and you're dying, you're literally dying. So if you're dying now, you're going to lose everything in any way. And someone has to come in front of you and tell you that I will offer you one tumbler of water for all your kingdom. Are you prepared to give it? He said, I'm prepared to give it. Because if I don't give it, I'll die. I will still lose it. So I'm prepared to give it. So then the Buzuk told him that that kingdom which is only worth one tumbler of water and you chasing after it. What are you chasing after it? So Allah has given us so much of ni'mats. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, man asbaha mu'minan, man asbaha minkum aminan fi sarabihi. That person wakes up in the morning, he's feeling safe. In his mind, in his body, his family is safe, he's secure also. Mu'afan fi jasadihi, his health is also good also. He's walking, talking, eating, everything. وَإِنَّهُ قُوتُ يَوْمِهِ, and he got food for that day only. We're not even talking about the whole month or whole year. We're talking only food for that day. فَكَأَنَّمَا حِيزَتْ لَهُ الدُّنْيَا بِحَظَافِيرِهَا, as though he has got the whole world. As though he has got the whole world. So how many of us, we are in that position, alhamdulillah, to the grace of Allah. That's why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make this dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min zawali ni'matik wa tahawwul afiyatik wa fujati nikmatik wa jami' sakhatik. And today this dua is so important to be making, because those things were regarded as basic necessities, we are so called being deprived of them. When people become ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then even the basic things are taken away from them. So at all times, you're making this dua, oh Allah, I seek protection that you take away the ni'mats and the favors that you have given us. Spiritual favors, physical favors, so many favors. And then you get those favors which insan, because he worked for it a little bit, he appreciates it to a certain extent. So for example, a person got his business, he will look after this business. He's worried that the business is going down now. I need to do something. When he got his house, he worked for it. So he will appreciate it. And if anything goes wrong, if any deficiency, there's a leak or anything, then he will look after it. He got his car, he will look after it. One of the greatest ni'mats which we are overlooking today is the ni'mat of iman. This ni'mat is such a ni'mat that our success in dunya and akhirat is dependent on it. So many places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about that person who dies upon kufar, he'll enter into the fire of Jahannam. That person who has iman, did good actions, he'll enter into Jannah. So many verses of the Quran. We cannot even put a price to the importance of this iman. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just to make us understand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us what is the value of iman. And Allah says on the day of Qiyamah, when that kafir will be brought, and that disbeliever will be brought in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he'll say, oh Allah, I know I never bring iman, but today I'm ready to bargain with you. I'll give you everything of the world. When you say everything of the world, it's not only wealth. I'll prepare to give everything in the world so that you can save me from the fire of Jahannam. Allah will say, I'm sorry. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ كُفَّارٌ, فَلَيْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمْ مِلُّ الْأَرْضِ ذَهَبَ وَلَوْ افْتَدَى بِهِ. Even he has to give the whole world full of gold and silver and everything. And in some verses it comes, even he has to give double that also. Allah says, he's not going to work here. Why? Because that's not the price of iman. Iman is much more valuable than that, than everything in the world. That is why when you look at the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhu, sometimes you think that how did they go through so much of persecution just for that iman? Because they understood the value of that iman. Abdullah bin Huzafa Sahmi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was sent on out on an expedition and they were captured, he and his army, they were captured by the Romans. Incident mentioned in Hayat al-Sahaba. They were captured by the Romans. He was the leader. So the Roman king, he called Abdullah bin Huzafa and told him, listen here, just become a Christian. I'll give you half my kingdom. Abdullah bin Huzafa said, even if you give me the whole kingdom, even if you give me a small piece, even if you give me for one day, I'm not prepared for one moment also, I'm not prepared to leave the deen of Islam. He said, then no problem, you will punish us. And just to show him as a sample, he told his men, take a big pot, boil the water. And he put one sahabi inside to boil him to death. And he said, listen here, same thing will happen to you. He said, I'm still not prepared. But as he's going, so he told the guards, take him. But as he's going, he started crying. So someone came and informed the king that he's crying. So then the king thought to himself, maybe he changed his mind. Maybe he changed his mind. So he comes back, say, bring him back. He said, maybe you changed your mind. He said, no, I never changed my mind. He said, then why are you crying? He said, I'm crying because of this. That Allah gave me only one life. And I could only give one life in his path. If only Allah could give me so many more lives. And I will give each one for the sake of Allah. Now the king was really moved to this. And Allah wants to protect you, there's no one to protect you. No one else can do any harm to you if Allah wants to protect you. Now the king was really taken. So the king told him, alright, why don't you kiss me on my forehead? And I'll release you. So the sahabi thought to himself, to kiss the king on the forehead is no kufr, no sin, there's nothing wrong with that. So he told the king, listen here, yeah, I'll kiss your forehead on one condition, myself and the whole army, everyone is free. So the king told him, right, no problem. You kiss me on my forehead, everyone is free. So he went and kissed him on the forehead, and the king freed everyone. Now they come in front of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he related the story. Umar Anu said that everyone, every sahabi here must kiss his forehead. Out of respect for him must kiss. And Umar Anu went himself and kissed his forehead out of respect for him. So when you look at the lives of sahaba, they understood the value of iman. Do we understand this value of this iman? How strong is this iman? If something happens to some wealth of mine in my worldly possession, I'm worried about it. If my business is going down, I'm worried about it. As I mentioned, if there's something happening in my house, I'm worried about it. I'm putting all the security. I'm putting whatever goes wrong, I'm putting it right. Or if something happens to my car, it's not moving, I'm sending it for a service all the time. Or something, I'm doing everything to put it right. How strong is my iman? That same iman which has to make me enter into Jannah. Is it strong enough? Some people are of this thinking. That it comes in the hadith, man qala la ilaha illallah dakhal al Jannah. That person who reads la ilaha illallah, he'll enter into Jannah. Finish. Don't have to do nothing. Just read la ilaha illallah, you enter into Jannah. But that's not the only hadith. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, man qala la ilaha illallah mukhlisan dakhal al-jannah. That person who reads La ilaha illallah sincerely, he will enter into Jannah. Sahaba Ranum asked, Ya Rasulullah, wa ma ikhlasuha Ya Rasulullah? What is the meaning of reading it with sincerity? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, an tuhjizahu an maharimillah. That La ilaha illallah, that kalima, that stops you from breaking the law of Allah, that is the La ilaha illallah that you read sincerely. So when that La ilaha illallah, one Buzurg mentioned, that when that La ilaha illallah cannot stop us from sins, I'm still looking at the wrong, I'm still going to the wrong places, I'm still speaking the wrong things, when that La ilaha illallah cannot stop me from doing these haram things, how is that La ilaha illallah going to save me from the fire of Jahannam? Allah protect us. So it's very, very important we need to understand how strong is that iman. That iman must be such as now a person like Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, mentioned that one person went, he had to go to a certain place, so he had to pay for everyone to enter. As you know, you go to certain places, they have ages. Adults, this price, children, this price. So he's looking at his child, or my child is looking a little bit short, maybe I can get away. I can get away. His child is supposed to be paying the adult price. But now he's thinking, no, my child is a little bit short, let me pay the children's price. So he cheated his way and he went in. So he said, what type of iman is that, that your iman could not even protect you from cheating? How strong is that iman? Likewise, we have to take the same thing with all our actions, whether it be our salah, whether it be our business, whether it be our akhlaq, whether it be our muamalat and our dealings with other people. What is the strength of our iman? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you want to protect your iman, the verse that I read right in the beginning, Ya ayyuhal ladhina aman, that your iman, if you want to get perfect iman, and our iman has to be like the sahaba, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدِهْ تَدَوْ. That you bring iman the way the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum brought iman. Then only you're going to be guided. Then ittaqullah. We know a person, if he's got a big, big business, big companies, they have computers, they're worried about it being hacked. So they want to put firewall and they're going to put so many things just to protect it. Why? Someone is going to hack it. Are we protecting and do we have the firewall over our iman? That it may be hacked by all the fitnas around us. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, كَقِطْعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُظْلِمِ يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا. That a person, that the fitnas will come, just like the darkness of the night, just as it gets darker and darker and darker, likewise the fitnas are getting worse and worse and worse. That a person is passing the night in iman, waking up in the morning, is waking up with kufr. So are we protecting our iman? Allah Ta'ala says, ittaqullah. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, create that quality of taqwa. Now that's a subject on its own, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in so many verses of the Quran Sharif, Allah shows us how we can get this taqwa. And one of the ways is to stay with people who got taqwa. And Allah Ta'ala says after that, how to protect your taqwa? How to protect your taqwa? وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ. Seek closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seek those actions where I can gain closeness to Allah. If a person comes to the masjid, for example, this is an example. Person came to the masjid, he thought namaz was, for example, 5 o'clock. And he realizes that the namaz was changed. It was 5:15. Now there's one of two things he can do. He can go outside, waste time with his friends. Or he can come inside and say, listen, ya, how will I gain the closeness of Allah? Ya? I can come inside, I can make zikr, I can read Quran Sharif, I can do this. How? He needs to look for ways to come close to Allah. ابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ. Look for ways to come close to Allah. He can go home. He had a fight. Now one way is to scream everything back. And one way is How will Allah want me to behave in this condition? How can I gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's not easy, Allah says in the next part. It's not easy. You have to look and try because you've got so many forces around you, distracting you, taking you away from Allah. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِهِ Allah says that. It's a mujahada, it's a strive every day. I want to look at that haram in the cell phone. But no, I'm not going to do it. Will my Allah be happy with that? No, He's not going to be happy with that. So it's a mujahada every day. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِهِ So respected elders and brothers in Islam, this iman is one of the greatest ni'mas that we have got. So we have to worry about protecting this iman. And not only us. We have to worry about protecting the iman of our families, wives and children, and our close ones. Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. And all those who have brought iman, save yourselves and save your families from the fire of Jahannam. Our children and our families are our investment. People investing. But are we investing for our akhirah? That after I close my eyes, that same child who I invested in, he's going to read Quran Sharif and he's going to send sawab to me. He's going to read and he's going to send sawab to me. Well, I'm only worried about my dunya. Likewise, my child, am I only worried about his dunya? That I'm only worried about giving him worldly knowledge. Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah had mentioned an incident. A person sent his child to Germany to become an engineer, doctor, whatever. So when he came back, after he finished his studies, he got very, very sick. Doctors lost hope now. He's in a hospital bed. He's about to pass away. And the father starts crying. He's asking the father, why are you crying? He said, I'm not going to see any returns for whatever I paid for. I'm not going to see any returns. Now you came back, I'm not going to get back anything. You're dying now. I paid so much to send you all the way there. So when he said that, the child started crying. So he's asking the child, why are you crying? So the child said, that you gave me everything for the dunya, but you have not taught me how to face Allah. You have given me nothing of deen. How am I going to face my Allah on the day of Qiyamah? So we are worried about the future of our children. How far we are talking of future? What future we are talking? Future till death or after death? A mu'min does not only think till death. A mu'min is thinking beyond death. So what are those actions that are going to assist us in dunya also? And the actions that are going to assist us in akhirah. Therefore we'll end up with the dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma ij'al khayra umri akhirahu wa khayra amali khawatimahu wa khayra ayyami yawma alqaq ya waliya al-islam sabbitni alihi. That O Allah, make the best part of our lives our last part. Make the best action of ours our last action. And make the best day of ours the day that we meet you. And O Allah, you keep us steadfast upon Iman and Islam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.